Hi, I'm Rilo.
And I'm Garden.
And you're about to listen to an episode of our podcast. Neat.
And we assume you love the Venture Brothers because why else would you be here?
Unfortunately, on September 7th, Jackson Public announced that the show had been canceled a few months ago while he and Doc were in the middle of writing season 8.
That's a very un-Hank thing to do.
The most un-Hank. Adult Swim says they'd like to figure out how to continue the story and let the boys of the Astro Base give us the thrilling conclusion they spent 17 years building up to.
So a fan movement has risen, complete with a petition, a letter-writing campaign, and a whole month of activities to let WarnerMedia know just how special the show could be for them if they moved it to a new platform.
You can find the link tree with all the information on how to get involved and do your part to show your venture pride on our social media at Guild Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as under the hashtag Save Venture Bros.
And now on with the episode.
Guild Collaborative Podcast presents Needs More Grenity, hosted by Rilo W. Ward. Today's guest, comic artist and writer, Chandra Free. Hello. I'm here with Chandra Free. I said that right, yeah, right?
You yes. Said it right.
Ah, I'm learning. and as this, we don't even have a name for this segment yet. That's how new it is, and it's popping fresh. We're just talking venture. Maybe that'll be the name.
Or needs more grenadine.
Needs more grenadine. Oh, oh snap! There's the name. Coming up with it on the fly. And we're just, you know, I had talked to Garden about this, and Garden was like, yeah, you should do this. So we're doing this. And as a preamble, I know listeners of our show who are either jumping into the show through our show or whatever, this is probably going to include spoilers for the whole series. So let's just get that out of the way right now. So it's been a month.
Has it really been a month?
It's almost been a month here since Dragon Con and since at least the first leaks of the terrible, awful news. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh. So I was in disbelief, anger, what are all the stages of grief?
yeah, the grief roller coaster.
Yeah, because, well, first of all, we all heard it from Ken Plume. Ken's a friend of mine. Of course, he's a friend of the boys, Doc Astro and Jackson.
Base, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it's like, why would Ken lie? And I immediately did some text to some special friends, and one of them got back to me and they're like, where'd you hear this? It's like, well, Ken Plume said this. And so my confidant was like, well, if Ken would say this, he's probably got, you know, something from Jackson to say this. And then he went and informed me that he had known for months. Oh, I said a pronoun. My friend. Oh, well. We don't want to, like, pinpoint who my confidant was. But they're like, yeah, they were in talks. They knew that it was canceled for months. And then I, like, wow, this is breaking my heart. And I just, I, you know, 17 years. I don't know if that includes the pilot. Does
yeah.
that include...
Yeah, that, okay. That is from the pilot airing, I believe. Is
okay. So 16 years for me, because I got on board during, like, the first season. It's been a part of my, you know, my mid-20s to now my late 30s. Like, that's been a big chunk of my adulthood right there. And, like, wow, this is incredible. We already thought the show was going to be canceled after season one, and then after season two, and then after season three, and then at some point it became the Invincible show that couldn't be canceled. And so you just kind of take these things for granted, and all of a sudden, boom, no, it's not yummy. It's canceled.
It's not yummy. Yeah, because, I mean, as fans of the show, the one thing I probably have learned from being in this fandom for my teens and a good chunk of my young adult life now, it's patience. Patience pays off because it's quality work. You're paying for the quality!
You know? But you're not paying anything! Okay, so, all right, my big beef, okay, so this is... My big pet peeve is when people are like, when are we going to get another season? Is it canceled? I want it now. I'm like, shut up, okay? A, shut up. You like the show. You must learn with the rest of us. Us gurus, us Zen masters of biding our time to the next season. You must understand there is a rhythm to this. Like, you're not going to get it, like, the next year or next season or whatever. Like, you're going to see it in about 2 years, almost every 2 years, sometimes longer, maybe sometimes shorter, you know? Like,
it's like clockwork. Yeah, you could time a clock to it, almost.
Yeah, and so, like, for these people to be, like, kind of bratty about it, you can always spot a new fan that way.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah,
the fact that we had this cycle, we knew these things, like, oh, it's going to take a while for season eight. And then, like, also with Doc's, like, injury that he had between seven and eight, like, that postponed some of the work that was being done on the show.
Yeah. And we were all sort of, at least on my end, I know the people in the sort of, I don't want to word it weird, like the newer fans, like, I'm closer to the newer fans because of my age, but
yeah,
I'm not a new fan. And
right,
but like that was a big thing. People were like, oh, well, yeah, we all know, like, and I think everyone was conscious that, oh, this season may take a little longer, and that's
right. Okay. Right. And you know, I don't know many of the newer fans, but I've been an old dog at this. Like, you've been an old dog at this, you know. You're closer to probably newer fans because of your age, and of course I'm like the old school guard of, like, DRD and the People's Republic of Venture was a big thing, and then there's
Mantis Eye a lot, actually.
Yeah, and then Mark's the Venture Brothers blog, like that, you know, these are like the big three that I used to, like, always look to resources, and also, like, DRD's People's Republic of Venture, which is now the Venture Compound on Facebook.
Yeah.
She was a big supporter of me. Like, I would draw Venture Brothers stuff. I'd let her use my Venture Brothers stuff. And then in turn, she would give me stickers of my own work and my Venture Brothers stuff. And it was like, it was such a beautiful thing. And she also had she has, present tense, Venture Brothers Dragon Con table, and you can always get the goodies, the fun stuff from them.
Yeah, like, they understand they were gonna have, I think it was it OSI this year, lapel pins? I don't
probably
know.
Probably, yeah, I think so.
Because I know she posted them.
Yeah, such a shame we all didn't go to Dragon Con. Were you supposed to go?
I was planning on it. Yes, I was planning on going, but as I was in the early stages of finally planning to go, the pandemic hit, and that sort
right.
of, it was like, okay, so I'm just going to take a wild guess and say none of this is going to happen. And I right. was right, and I was right. but I was lucky enough to reach out to the animation track, and they were like, hey, you can do a panel, and then we can maybe get you professional badges next year. And
oh, that's really nice. That's really cool.
So that was, I mean, so I'll be there next year.
Cool. I'll be there next year too as a guest.
And hopefully Garden will be further along in the series.
Well, you got more than a year.
yeah. We're hoping. I think our end goal is to, like, at least I want to get her by Dragon Con next year. I want to have her at least partway through the Blue Morpho. So like season six, at least partway through season six. That's like my end game. Like, if I can get her that far, then maybe there will be like no risk of really spoiling much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well.
Yeah. But then it's like, well. Then you look at the Saffrax protocol and you're like, oh, well, shit.
Oh my goodness. Dragon Con, such a good that's the Venture Brothers convention to me.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what it's always seemed like.
Yeah, like, it's where I met Doc and Jackson, and got to, like, get to see some of the best Venture Brothers cosplay. Like, there's a little bit at San Diego Comic-Con, whatever. They had a nice little showing, but the best showing has always been Dragon Con.
Yeah, you get the full Fluttering Horde, right?
Yeah, you get everything. You get, like, plug face. You get, you know, face.
Has there been a hate bit? Because that could be my end game here. I love hate bit. I think that's such a like, I'm like, oh, wish you would have used hate bit more. Just needs, forget about Brick Frog, give us more hate bit.
Brick Frog, everybody loves Brick Frog.
Everybody loves Brick Frog and Scare Bear. That's who it's all about.
Well, at least Scare Bear is a little bit more interesting after that last episode.
Yeah. Left a lot of doors open. And at least they've gone from Kim.
Oh, God. Thank the fucking... Okay. So I love the question. And I always, like, tease that maybe one day I would get up and ask the same goddamn question. Sorry for the cursing, if that is okay or not.
It doesn't. Okay. Doesn't matter. None of this matters.
Nothing really matters. Okay, so every friggin' year, when's Kim coming back? Is Brock Hank's dad? When is Kim coming back? It's like, oh my God, why do you care? Why do you give a shit about this girl who's like, I love the throwaway line of, oh yeah, she's a born again Christian.
Yeah, I just like how they were just like, let's end this. We're cutting this off now.
Yeah.
And now people are like, well, no, she could still come back. And now that they're, I'm like,
I mean, it would be interesting because she's probably an obnoxious character.
Yeah, no, she's just, I like, you know, of all of the characters that in that episode, I want to see more Jolly Rancher.
But that's not like my name.
So you're into like cosplay.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
It's like costume business.
I'm in costume business, not costume play. I just thought Monarch. God, just goes in the loop. Oh, you know what? On the Live Journal days, the Monarch had a Live Journal, and I think I might have made a Jolly Rancher 82 to go with it. And so she was talking to the Monarch. I don't know anything beyond that. It's I am old now because I already dated myself with the fact that I just said live journal.
No, listen, I had a henchman live journal at one point.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was it came from the Adult Swim message boards, which
oh, that's cool.
May they rest in somewhat. I don't.
You know, I made friends with James Urbaniak on LiveJournal.
Yeah, I forgot he had a live. Didn't he like
Voucher Anklets were his fans. And that has, I forget where the references for why they're called Voucher Anklets, but okay.
That and didn't he like, and he started using Meow on his live journal, didn't he?
I think he probably did. Because James totally gets it. And he always, like, if you ever look at pictures of him in his casual, regular day wear, and, like, if you're with him during, like, whatever day, he's wearing a Venture Brothers t-shirt from one of the multiple, like, shirt clubs. And a hoodie. Always a hoodie.
I've seen, yeah, I follow him on Instagram. He's always wearing the Gargantua 2.
Yeah. You should follow his Twitter, because he just does lots.
He's hilarious. He's hilarious. Satire.
Yeah, he is.
He's hilarious. Any listeners who are not following his Twitter should. I mean, even my employer, who's not a Venture Brothers fan, is like, I showed a tweet about some current recent events. to her, because I was like, this is totally, it's just like, oh, you follow James Urbaniak too? And I'm like, yeah, he's Dr. Venture. Oh, really? I had no idea, just.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, you could know him as many red herrings from many a law shows, or
the
difficult people was one of the things.
The shoe salesman with the foot fetish
in Sex and the City. There's also he was in Henry Fool and the movies that followed that. Yeah. He was R. Crumb in American Splendor.
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. I want to revisit that. I really do. Like, that movie is like, what, early 2000s?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd Google it, but.
Yeah, it's okay. It's like, everybody Google for yourself. It's fine.
Yeah, yell at us. That's my big thing, is I'm always like, yeah, just yell at us. It's fine. They never do.
Oh, good.
So. How would you say, you know, since as you put it, you're sort of like an old dog of the Venture fandom, you know this show inside out and you're dedicated. How would you say sort of like Venture Brothers and in turn, I guess, Doc and Jackson have inspired your way of making art? Because you are a comic book artist. Mm-hmm. You have a graphic novel, and I know
I've been,
did the and I, foreword for it.
Yeah, The God Machine, back in late 2010, Doc did the foreword for, and I've also been in numerous other books like Fraggle Rock. And, most recently, I was in John Carpenter's Tales for Halloween Night, Volume 5. Whew, that's a lot to say.
Mouthful.
It is, but you know, I was in the master's book himself. Mike Sizemore wrote the story. We had the most pages in the book because it's anthology, so I was like, yes, we're awesome. You know, I've been in the comics business since probably late 2006, 2000, somewhere in there. One of the big things, like, it's hard to pinpoint any particular part of the Venture Brothers as influenced this and that. There are specific stories that are very special and I hold dear, but let's take it back. Let's take it a little bit back. once upon a time, I'm at my in-laws, my ex-in-laws, if we want to like get technical here. Yeah. And I see a commercial for the Venture Brothers, a show that I had never heard of. And it's like, this new show coming soon. And it's like, I didn't have cable, but I was like, I'm going to watch this show whether it's legal or not. And then I'm going to buy the DVD because I already understand I love this show. Like, I am going to support this show. I might not have cable, but dang it, I am going to throw money at it. And I literally fell in love with all those character designs. And like, Dr. Venture was my first crush of the show. Cause like, it's like bald guy, check, wears glasses, check, has some issues. This is just from the commercial, check. Seems good to me. And he's kind of old. Okay, yeah, I'm into it.
Sign me up. Sign me up for some Rusty.
So I mean, like, I knew I was going to love the show, and I absolutely did. I was just like, something about it like struck a chord with me. Like, it was like me in ways and not like me in other ways, but it's like style kind of was reflecting what I was doing, which is like elongated, like stylized things. And Venture Brothers, in comparison to most cartoons, a little bit, you know, they're a little bit stretched out, they're a little elongated. But I would make friends with Jackson on LiveJournal and Doc on DeviantArt, of all places.
Yeah, he had a DeviantArt. He still does. It's still up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still up. It's still up. But now he has an Instagram, for all you people who don't know that. It's just kind of like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's hammer.doc.
Yeah.
So if you all want to see his women and bras, go right ahead.
Women and bras. Gorgeous paintings, my God.
Oh my God. And like, when you go and see them in the real, they are just fucking gorgeous. I can't stress enough, like, seeing a Doc Hammer in person is incredible. Just fucking phenomenal. Just seeing the detail and how much paint he throws down on the canvas and just whatever, you know. Anyways, back to like the beginning friendship with, say, me and Doc and Jackson. I met them at the first Dragon Con they went to, and they like totally knew who I was, and we all hit it off really well, and yada yada yada, made friends. And, you know, it's casual, whatever. And I was like, of course, goo goo gaga, because 20-something year olds like, oh my God, they like me, we're gonna be friends. And then I like got over it. Well, not really. It's still kind of like, that's pretty fucking cool. But the reason why I even bring this up, because I typically wouldn't, is because Doc Hammer at the next Dragon Con helped me tremendously. Before that Dragon Con, I had a nervous breakdown. I didn't know what I was doing. I was working on this one book that was barely paying anything and was taking up all my time, and a publisher that was saying like, well, if you finish this book, we'll think about publishing you. And I'm like, okay, that's not very encouraging. And so I had the 2007, when I got to meet James Urbaniak, I was actually shopping around the God Machine. And a lot of publishers took a lot of interest. And then I just kind of dropped the ball because this one publisher might publish me. And it was like, I just kind of lost it. And then like, I came to Dragon Con just as a regular person. And I was still trying to get my stuff together. And then I like saw Doc and we had this heart to heart. I'm like, Doc, they're kind of like dangling a carrot in front of me. I don't know what's going on. I'm so depressed. I don't know, like, what do I do with my book? What do I do? And he told me, fuck them. Go out there, and you go get your, go talk to those other publishers and you get your book published. I'm like, what? This is like, duh. But wow, this is like the moment that tells me, yeah, go for it, Free. Go and get your book published. And I contacted a person at one of my friends who works with Arkea, or who worked with Arkea. I'm like, well, how do you feel about Arkea? And he's like, funny you should mention it, a week ago. And mind you, this was February to September from the New York Comic Con where I pitched my book. My friend says, funny you should mention it. Mark Smiley of Arkea was just asking about you a week ago and what you want to do with the God Machine. Instantly got picked up. I had to do a couple things first, but then I got a contract within like a month or so and I got published. And I mean, what a fitting thing to have Doc write a very crazy, batshit insane, weird forward for my first published book. Like, it's my first baby. It's, I wrote, drew, colored, lettered, did everything for that book. And Doc got to be the one who sets a tone of batshit crazy, which is very interesting. Is and I'm going to do a reprint of this book, and I'm going to keep the original Doc Ford. It took me a while to make a decision on this, but it's like, oh, it's so good, I'm going to keep it. But I'm also going to get a second Ford from somebody else. So, anyways, that's my long story to. Yes, Venture Brothers is very influential in my own work because there was the influence and kind of that loving touch of like, no, you're good. Go do the thing. Go out there and go publish. Go get published. And, you know, like, I'm very thankful for Doc for like being in my corner because it was exactly the right thing I needed to hear at the right time. And I felt so much better after that. And of course, like, here I am, that started a more of a solo, not a solo career for me, but it really like set me as a creator rather than doing coloring for another book and anything else. And then I'd get on Fraggle Rock and then Graphic Canon, a bunch of other books that I'm forgetting because of course I am. But also another thing that like Venture Brothers has been very influential on my life. I mean, from the way I speak, when I used to drive, I don't drive that much these days, but I would go like, just like squeaking and squawking like the monarch, you know, it's just some really tiny, stupid things like that. But it's also like, you know, I met so many good people, like my bestie, Alma, like I met her because of Venture Brothers. Like, she is like my ride or die. And yeah, we'll talk about Venture Brothers every so often, but that's not why we're friends, even though it is why we're friends. It's so bizarre because like she fell in love with the Venture Brothers by watching, she started on season 3. She got to see-
a place to jump in.
Right. She like saw Pete White and Billy Quizboy and she thought, that's the show for me. And I'm like, you know what? You gotta love somebody who like looks at the two of them and says, yes. And you know, it's just like, and she is quite essentially my Billy to my Pete, because I'm tall as heck and I have like one side of my head kind of shaved and long on the other, and she's just really tiny. I'm 5'9", she's about 5 foot or something like that, or 4'9", I'm not sure. But we are totally Pete and Billy. And then I've made other long, long life friends. My friend Malpertius, she was a big supporter of me, and just I love her to death, and we're still friends, and there's so many other people that I've met from Venture Brothers that have just completed my life. And it's just, it's remarkable. Like, yeah, there are fandoms. There are people who like, oh, we all met through this fandom. But I feel like Venture Brothers, even though sometimes crass and not always perfect, is coming from the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people that love the show for all the right reasons also know it's coming from the heart and that there's something kind of organic about the show. Like, from its lexicon of Doc and Jackson, like, becoming, like, creating their own language and pouring their heart into this, whether, like, you know Rusty is an awful person, but he created, like, he created clones because he knew that his boys weren't going to survive. So yeah. he loved them enough to enact what his father had already done beforehand.
Whether Jonas did that for out of love or out of for money, who knows? But
well, Jonas also cloned Rusty.
Yeah, but also Rusty was the star of a.
I hadn't thought of that.
Jonas Venture, the real villain of the Venture Brothers.
It's so fucking true.
I could write a whole thesis on how much I hate Jonas Venture Sr.
I mean, he's a pretty villainous character.
Just the worst.
The worst. Because he fucked his son. His son seemed to be a very true innocent.
Yeah, and he ruined that.
Yeah, he did. And of course, there's no wonder why Rusty is a piece of shit.
No, it's learned. It's learned.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's also like he's got a sweet side to him, but he's all no filter. No filter. But yeah, to get back to where we were at, but love. The show is about love. Soulbots, hold us. I love you. And I understand what Soulbot meant.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to that.
Right. Yeah. Which I guess is something for debate now. People are like, well, what is the robot at the end saying? I'm like, no, it's I love you.
It's I love you. I mean, like, okay, so it's not up to debate. There's even an episode that does a little sing-along.
I know. Like, it's one of the... and. The Astro Base end tags for a season 2 episode. I don't know which one, but one.
Do you want to get envious of me, everybody in your listenership? Yes. I've been to the Astro Base.
Oh, the actual like Astro Base?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
More than once.
God damn.
I got to see season 2 DVD extras before everyone else did. And they were as successful then as they ended up on the DVD.
Listen, the tour of Astro Base Go is such...
It's
look at all the stations and I'm like, yeah, that's me procrastinating. Thank you. Thank you for calling me out. Yes, I will go to the caffeination station. The relaxation, yes. That's me avoiding all of my work.
It's a glorified hallway.
yeah, that's always been my understanding. It's just a hallway.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very narrow, very New York studio. It's right across the street from a soccer spot, and
as we all know from commentary, it's right.
Right. Also, you go like a block away, you hit Chinatown. I miss New York City. I really miss New York City. I just moved not too long ago, and I moved to Connecticut
during the great flee from New York.
I didn't want to, but
a lot of people did.
I mean, I'm a freelancer. Nothing's really coming in. So I can't. What can I say? I had really good rent, by the way. Really good rent. It was cheap. Very cheap. So I was very happy, though my neighborhood sucked. I was out in Brooklyn, and to go to pandemic, we'll just sidetrack just a second here. Nobody was paying attention to wearing masks or social distancing or anything like that. And now is ranked as one of the upcoming like surges in COVID right now. So I was like, it's good that I got away because
it would have like been awful.
Yeah, like literally my neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood. I don't like it because it has a Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks. And lots of Dunkin' Donuts in terms of if you want to go to a place to get coffee. That is not very Brooklyn. It's not very Brooklyn. And there is no place to go to a bar. There are no bars, no coffee houses. Very weird.
That is odd, given that it's Brooklyn.
Yeah, so I mean, I lived in a deeper part of Brooklyn, not the fancy places, which I have lived in the fancy places before, but yeah, whatever. Anyway, so that was my trip into that realm. I miss New York. I can't help it.
Yeah.
Gosh. So COVID and Venture Brothers. Do we think COVID decided that it was going to destroy the Venture Brothers this year? And I'm kidding.
Well, no, I don't know if you watch Always Sunny.
Oh no, no, I've seen a little bit of it.
Have you seen the meme of the one character with the board?
Like what's his face?
Charlie, the board, smoking cigarettes with the board and the coffee. Like, that is me. I'm like, connected. It's like I'm fucking connecting the dots here. Like, got interviews. Just like connect what went down there, because it does seem like, I don't think COVID did it, but I also think it didn't help. But it also sounds like Adult Swim was completely caught off guard too.
Yeah. So, okay. My take on this is that I saw, speaking of my own dots and figures on the wall of conspiracy theories. Well, they got rid of Mike Laszlo, which was a big supporter of the Venture Brothers for the longest time.
Yeah.
And that was in the beginning of the year, which that was like January, late January.
And end of December was when Laszlo retired.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't exactly hear retired, but, you know, again, it's conspiracy.
From what I understood, he retired.
Okay.
Which... It tracks. I mean, he's like in his 60s and he's been with Cartoon Network for like 30, 40 years. He's been with, I guess, Turner, not Cartoon Network itself, but.
Right. But it's like, you know, he was a supporter of the Venture Brothers, he, and then new people.
It, yeah.
Yeah. New people came in and, well, you know, AT&T bought everything. Actually, what didn't AT&T buy? they didn't. They can't buy Disney, so
They didn't buy Fox because Disney bought Fox.
Correct, and so they bought the Warner Brothers
and Turner.
Because like DC is like, if you've heard about what they want to do to DC comics.
Oh, they're gutted. They're gutting DC.
Right, exactly. So it's like, it's no wonder that, you know, Venture Brothers went away. It's because like these, and this is just me talking out of my ass because this is a podcast.
All we do is we blab our mouths, you listen to it, and maybe we'll get like 5 cents of ad revenue. Like that's pretty much the gist of it.
Oh god. Anyways, I think the writing's on the wall. New management did the thing.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
You know, it's really, it's scary what's going on with DC Comics, because, you know, comics is my realm. And so, like, watching a bunch of big guys get totally taken down, and also, like, the fact that they're thinking about, like, having other companies do DC Comics is the weird
part.
Oh
my God. Yeah.
Imagine Marvel. I don't think they'd go to Marvel, because that's not.
But imagine Marvel doing Batman.
It's so weird.
So open weird. Up Marvel number one. This isn't Batman. Where's that's Batman? Like,
right. Oh, what an ingenious episode. Anyways. I got it. I know what a CGS rating is.
Yeah. I got it too. And I'm like, oh, I'm a geek.
Hey, what's the G word? I'm a nerd.
What's the G word? Nerd. Geek!
Nerd!
Isn't that what... Monarch calls 21 a geek repeatedly.
Does he really? When?
Like, whatever, 21 makes some, like, a Dune reference or something. Geek! it's I think season 6 and 7.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably like a with more recent.
With their close, which that's what guts me is. God,
it's
21 is his best friend.
I know, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. Okay, so like everything that's set up in like 6 and 7, it's like it's big, like everything that's been set up, period, from the beginning of the show to then. But I mean, like 6 and 7 really have some interesting story stuff that like propels the series into a different realm. I mean, they're in New York. It's all different. It's weird.
Yeah. They completely like rewrote it. They
reinvented it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so fucking cool. And we get to finally learn that, you know, Rusty and Malcolm are like fucking brothers.
Which
makes the Venture Brothers even so much cooler. The title, The Venture Brothers, because it's all about family. It's about brothers. And there's a ton of brothers going around in the Venture.
So many boys.
Yeah, so many boys. Not enough sisters. Where are the sisters? Our sister Dawn, we're finally going to meet her, Dean.
Do you, speaking of sisters, do you think, Dr. Quim was a Venture.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so there's this, like, running, like, joke, like, so everyone with red hair now was birthed from the seed that Jodas spread to the wind.
Right. He's like Zeus.
But his science is very potent.
God.
Bad friend.
God. Oh,
God, he's such a dick. God, welcome to the Rilo Hates Jodas Venture Hour.
Accompanying him is Chandra Free with a yes, me too.
Real God, yeah, like and. I mean, I don't know the inner workings of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I barely know the outer workings of the show. it felt like with 6 and 7, they were setting up sort of to
some major like end game kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just sort of like they were winding up to sort of hit its natural end of this
right.
story where. The lights turn off and the camera just goes away and the Ventures just keep on living, like, you know.
Right. So like You're absolutely right. Like, even to me, also an outsider, I might be friends with the boys, but it's like, you know, I only know so much because,
yeah.
But it's like, from everything I gleaned from early commentary, since I haven't caught up with all the commentaries, I know.
They're so good.
People.
They're so good. Like, have you listened to season 6?
Don't tell me anything about it.
Oh, you will find out so much more about Doc than you ever want to know about Doc. Like, I know so much more about that man than I ever wanted or needed. And Jackson has a similar reaction to some of those revelations. Oh, that's so funny.
That's so funny.
It's bad.
Oh, I'm sure it is. If that man has an opportunity to make things bad, he would do it.
He will talk about piss and semen all the time.
About like pissing in jars and stuff like that.
They're really. Did you see any piss jars at the Astro Piece?
I mean, I do not kiss and tell. No. But was it a season 1 commentary where like Doc's like he had pissed in a jar and he went to like get a drink or something like this? I feel like this is a story from Doc Hammer. If not, this is probably someone else's story, but this is a story.
The way you're starting it, this sounds like a Doc Hammer story.
Anyways, he picked up the wrong bottle.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
it could be a Doc story. It could be.
It sounds like a Doc tale, but it does not.
It could be canon. It could not be.
having heard from the horse's mouth so much than I wanted to know. I wouldn't rule that one out.
Doc's a very lovely person, by the way.
that's how I understand. I understand. My one brief interaction with him was nothing but charming and lovely.
Oh yeah, no, he's great. One of my friends initially met him and was like, "I hate your friend. Why do you hate my friend? He's so intimidating. Why is he intimidating? He wears such good clothes." Right? What is wrong with you? Yeah, of course. Yeah, he dresses better than you. Oh, here's another thing. I got another thing. Like, Doc inspired me to get my shit together in a way. Just like it was Doc Hammer and Ladytron at the same time. This very 2000s conversation here. Like, Ladytron had a style. They wore all black and this kind of these uniforms and all this other stuff. And Doc was wearing, you know, the three-piece suit type stuff going on. And, of course, like, he had the blonde and the black hair at the same time. It's like, you know what? If I do conventions, I got to look my best. I got to be a personality, too, and have a uniform. And that was one of my big things. Like, it's a very strange takeaway from both Doc Hammer and Ladytron at the same time.
I mean, when you look your best, you're given first impressions matter.
That's right. Oh my God! That, like, when I was pitching my book, The God Machine, which you can find on Amazon. I don't make any money from it anymore, but you can find it used. Get the edition. It's cool. It's got Doc Hammer in it. Just a little side note. Anyways.
We're going to be, totally.
But when I was pitching my book, I had this gaudy black and white striped sweater, and I wore like black pants and boots, and my hair was long and bright as fuck red. And I'm like, I'm going to make an impression on those like editors and, you know, publishers and stuff like that. Like, they're gonna know who I am. They're gonna know Chandra Free. That was one of the things. Like, you make an impression. Like, anybody who wants to get into comics or any kind of profession, I guess, you know, dress the part. You know, if you're in comics, stand out from the other people who wear flannel.
and if you're going to do a venture podcast, wear a Weep t-shirt.
Oh, I've been called out.
I was waiting for a good time to mention it. Tanner this whole time has been wearing a Weep t-shirt, which I believe even better. I believe I mentioned all this on the podcast before. I don't know. Doc Hammer's band, which is very good, and I highly recommend listening to.
They're great in person too. Like they're funner. Well, as we know, like Doc does the all the instrumentations on all of the albums. I don't know about the last one. He might have played with the band, but in person is so much cooler because we've got Fred and. Oh my God, forgive me, boys. I forget the other two's names, but Fred, who's on bass. I love Fred. Fred's
the bass is all the, as a bass player.
And backup vocals.
As a bass player, I mean.
Oh yeah.
I gotta appreciate the bass player. Honestly, that's like one of my favorite traits about Hank.
Oh yeah.
I especially love the bag. He plays bass.
He plays the bass, yeah.
He can play bass.
There's this great sketch on Kids in the Hall where they're talking about the bass player. It's like, hey, bass player. Well, it's like a hipster, like as in not modern hipster, but as in like a 1960s yeah. hipster. What's the other word? Beatnik.
There you go.
A beatnik comes in. It's Kevin... people are probably screaming like it's Kevin blah 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 from Invader Zim. It's Kevin blah 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 from that show you're referencing. It's like, I can't remember his last name for whatever. Anyways, he's doing a beatnik kind of thing, and he's like saying bass player back in the back, and like it's oh my God. Kids in the Hall, one of the best comedy.
Kids in the Hall is honestly up there. And I gotta admit, between discovering that at an early age and Venture Brothers, I was set up to already be like just a gremlin of some sort.
Yeah, you've got like oh geez, what's going on with you? Like what am I? Like I'm on the cusp of being a millennial. But I'm older than a millennial, so that's like Gen X?
Gen Z is the people after me.
Okay.
So I'm at the kind of in the middle of millennial. My sister, who is the same age as you, is Gen X. That's the only reason I know it.
Okay.
Then the people who are after me, so Garden's younger brothers are both Gen Z.
Okay, so that you're mixed between my generation and also the generation before me, because like Kids in the Hall resonated with teenagers and 20-somethings of the 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like that's it's.
I'm
crazy.
I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or my parents just never censored me. One of those things. Censorship is garbage.
Censorship is. I mean, like, the only thing that I could ever be like, oh, you could probably not show kids this. Maybe like horror that involves like gratuitous like chopping up of people or something like that. You know,
and even that's too much for me. That's too much for me at 20, at almost 28. I'm like, no, that's too much for me. I'll pass.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's where I'm like to the kids, they don't need to see horror just yet. I mean, I was frightened of everything as a kid.
God.
Everything. Skeleton scared me. I love skeletons.
I was not frightened of skeletons. I was big on because Nightmare Before Christmas came out when I was little. Okay. I think I was like 1994. So I was like 2 when it came out. I had it on VHS.
And I had it on VHS too. I had the soundtrack with Patrick Stewart does the voice of Santa on the recording. And oh my God, I remember it was the late days of me playing with my Barbies with my cousin. And we'd play the soundtrack for Nightmare Before Christmas. And we'd also go and see it in the Dollar Theater at the time. So we'd keep on seeing it and seeing it and seeing it.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I was probably too old to be playing with Barbie dolls at the time.
You're never too old for dollies. I mean, I'm looking at my Hank right now. He's out of the box. He's just sitting there. I have a friend who, I have an Al and a Shoreleaf, and I have a friend who's going to make a trash suit for Al and Shirley's regular outfit because the Sphinx, you need a break.
Sphinx. Yeah, and those are not his colors.
Brown. Okay. So not my color.
So another sidebar. Did you ever see the Lisa Hammer films, Pox?
No, I didn't. I saw the only one I've seen of Lisa Hammer's films is I saw the I think it was maybe it was about puberty. I don't know. The period piece. There we go. Yeah, John Jay showed that to me.
Okay, John Jay. All right,
a mutual friend of ours and host of Swimcast was what he showed me.
That's funny. What he should have shown. Well, that one's actually pretty funny. What about period? Okay. Anyways, so fucked up and weird. She was doing a web series or something of that nature with a character named Pox, and Pox goes missing for an episode. It's like episode 7 or 8 or something like that. And all of a sudden a sock puppet takes over. His name is Sox. He sounds exactly like Shoreleaf.
Yeah. Oh, I knew this story.
Okay.
And then, cause being the nerd I am who listens to all the commentaries, Doc tells the story in one of the commentaries about
okay
and how Jackson just said in the talkback, like, just do socks. Can you just do socks?
Oh my God, I wish I could still quote socks because I had a bunch of them. It's like, but now I'm like, hey, maybe that's a good thing. I can't remember this stuff. Maybe I am like pushing stuff out of my head so I can remember good stuff. But that was good too, and it would help me right now.
I'm sure it's out. It's out there in the ether. You just got
to. It's on YouTube.
It has to be on YouTube.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. But just look for Lisa Hammer's account, and you'll probably find it.
You'll probably find it. Yeah, the only one I've seen is period piece. Thank you, John Jay. Yeah, and the best part was he tossed it into like his big Adult Swim Con stream. And it was on right before we did our post SDCC panel with the Swimcast and this Rick and Morty podcast. It was myself and the great people at Conjectural Technologies. And that was what he decided. And I said, oh, Lisa Hammer. He's like, yeah, I figured we should toss you guys a bone. Like, toss something on there, kind of, because we had nothing to talk about. At least Rick and Morty had something to talk about. We had nothing. We're like, and at the time, we didn't know what was happening. And so we were like, oh, we'll probably get something at Dragon Con.
Womp, womp,
womp. Womp, womp.
Um, here's a question.
Yo.
Have you listened to more Syphilitica?
I have heard one song.
Okay.
It's
okay. You can say it.
I get a lot of guff from people because I'm not like, I never had a goth face.
Oh, that's fine.
And like people are like, oh, you never had a goth face and it showed. And I'm like, no, I skipped over goth and went straight to like weird, like emo. Like, because I was in that group where we didn't do goth. We did emo. We did.
Right.
We were listening to Panic at the Disco and wearing like dressing like Kim. I guess that's the way to describe it.
Random question. Speaking of emo, did you ever read a book called Emo Boy?
No. I've heard of it, though.
Oh, you've heard of it. Yeah, that's my boyfriend's book from SLG back in the day.
Hey!
Steve Emond. Hey, what do you promote? You can find it on Tapas and Webtoons right now.
Wow. Probably Webtoons.
Yeah, you could read all the stuff for free. You don't even have to find the book.
Yeah, go and do that, listeners. All 27 of you. That's our solid fan base. I know we have people who listen to just like one episode, but that's like apparently our solid.
Well, like, that's good. It's hard. It's hard out there.
It's hard out there for a pit. God, we got same brain.
We're on the same page. Okay, so you didn't have a goth phase. That's fine. This is coming from I'm not exactly an elder goth. There are people who are in their 50s and 60s who are actually elder goths.
Yeah.
I am. I am almost there. I'm on my way. It wasn't a phase for me. I mean, I'm a dark artist.
Yeah.
You don't call me goth, but you know, I've got a lot of goth tendencies.
Yeah. No, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't let those other.
It don't matter. None of this matters.
Nothing matters. Don't worry about it. Forget about it.
Forget about it. But think, yeah, a friend of mine was like, because I know about the band. I'm a quiz boy of knowledge on the show and the people behind it. I knew about it, I just haven't listened to it. They're like, sent me a video, and I think it's more Syphilitica.
Virgin Widows.
It's the one where Doc's dressed like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it's Virgin Widows.
That's the only one. That's the only one I've heard. Is the one where Doc's dressed like Beetlejuice. And that was how it was described. Was, have you seen this video? He's wearing a Beetlejuice suit.
And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake!
I'm like, okay. Thanks for sharing.
Not all the songs sound like that, but they're more ethereal, like goth ethereal, like very like God, I was just gonna describe what ethereal is. I'm like, I have Google no it. Other adjectives or
Google
verbs
it. Just Google it, listeners.
We all
know you're listening to this on like your iPhone.
You can find Feather and Fate somewhere, I'm sure, on YouTube. I don't think it's up anywhere, to be honest. You can't even buy it.
Unlike Weep, which I finally bought physical Weep albums.
Oh, cool.
Recently.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them. Apparently I'm missing the first one, which kind of pissed me off.
It's in the season 5 Blu-ray case. I'm making in references to a discussion that is not even recorded.
So kids, Chan lost her season 5 Blu-ray of Venture Brothers only to discover that she found her Darjeeling Limited Blu-ray, which had been missing for about 3-4 years, probably just 3 years, and there it was in the case.
I mean,
we rebought season 5.
I mean,
it's not the first time I've rebought something from the Venture Brothers catalog.
God, yeah, no, I have spare copies because I have port impulse control. and if there's a lot of like Adult Swim DVDs, it almost always includes like 1 or 2 seasons of Venture Brothers, but not necessarily season 1 and 2.
I need to buy, and I think it's impossible now, but I need to rebuy season 1 because we were watching the DVDs and DVD number 2 is flawed. Something's going wrong.
I have a spare.
Can't watch. That would be super nice.
I have a spare because I bought it in a lot. I bought a lot of the DVDs because I was like, okay, I should really own physical copies of this if I'm really going through with this podcast. So I bought physical copies of it, but I bought this lot that had like, it was just Venture Brothers and I think like a season of Brock Show, but I didn't realize the disc, season 1. And I talked about this at the panel on like the Dragon Con panel. I got it and it was signed.
Oh wow, that's really cool.
By Duncan Jackson. And I'm like, okay, so I guess I need to buy season 1 again. And then like you buy, it's like you can't just buy one.
I was ready for you to tell me that Darjeeling Limited was like sitting right in there.
No. Well, no, that happened in another lot that I was trying to get all the Venture Brothers DVDs and then another lot season 1 has a disc of, it has disc 1 of season 1 and then a disc of Twin Peaks.
Oh no!
And the guy said, so I opened up season 1 and I only found Twin Peaks. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't need it. And then he just tossed it in anyway. And it's like, I'm not even a fan of Twin Peaks. So like, now I just have one disc of season 1 of Twin Peaks and then an extra erroneous disc 1 of season 1 of Venture Brothers. Of chilling, and I like have to like separate it because I'm like, I don't want to pull that out when I'm like trying to watch season 1, which I don't really do that often anyway. I mean, it's a good season, but
I had stopped it used to be my comfort zone that I'd play seasons 1 and 2 all the time, back and forth, and then like season 3, and then I'd keep going. Then at some point I got depressed or some silliness. Depression is not silly, kids.
It's very real.
It's super duper real. It sucks. But I stopped watching the show like I used to for whatever reason. Like, and I just recently made a return to it because my boyfriend hadn't watched Venture Brothers. So he'd watched a few episodes, but he's like, I don't know why I never followed up. It's like, well, we're marathoning this. And the good thing was that even though he watched season 1, he's like, I'll stick through this. I want to see where this is going.
I mean, if it has more seasons beyond season 1, you kind of are like, okay.
Yeah.
It must be worth it.
Well, I think he was really getting into like the characters. So we have a lot of problems with early Venture Brothers stuff. And I mean, it's problematic, and it's unfortunate that it does have moments, but this goes into something else that like me and my boyfriend have talked a lot about, and that's the 2000s was all about shock humor.
It was shock humor, and it was and also, I hate to say it, kind of commonplace language that was not that great.
Yeah, like I mean, like, it also, like, especially, like, these two boys are from New York, or, like, they live in New York. or did, well, one does and one doesn't now, but they have a vernacular from New York that's not so savory. So, like, the R word comes up a lot. Even I use the R word in my first book, and I'm rewriting the book to eliminate the R word.
And I like, how Doc sort of, like, acknowledged that his mom.
Yeah, his mom.
His mom said,
right.
And tried to.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it becomes less and less, but I think it goes all the way up to season 5 or 6.
Yeah,
the last
seven,
there is no sign of the word anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, like, one of my bigger ones. There was one of my friends clocked a transphobic joke at one point, which was a little disappointing too. And it's from a later season. White says, looks like he's on estrogen pills in reference to,
St. Cloud's hips.
Yeah. And it's like, that's, you know, if you want to take it to that route, but I mean, my friend is, gender fluid, and definitely it hit a nerve with them. And
yeah.
And so, like, there's these moments, and it's like, yeah, they're funny. And of course, like, also, like, a period of time, like, these things were funny, they were, you know, whatever, but we're also becoming people who are becoming more culturally sensitive to
and self-aware.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, PC culture has always existed, but it's always been the progression of humans understanding other humans and actually having empathy for fellow human beings. And that's where we are right now. We're learning how to be more thoughtful and get to be a little bit more clever with how we do our humor these days, and not necessarily, like, taking people out for, like, you know, stuff like it's all the problematic language, right?
Yeah.
We can't do that anymore. Because if we're doing it, and sometimes this does happen in Venture Brothers, usually, like, if the R word is said by anybody, it's usually a person, a character that is a bad person.
To be fair, but white, not the greatest person.
No, he's not.
Like, I don't want to say, I didn't want to say that out loud, because, like,
no,
I have a lot of friends who are, like, really vehemently, like, pro Pete White. It's like,
I love
the guy, but he is not that great.
No, he's not. The thing is, like, I love Pete White. I love Rusty Venture. I love Malcolm Yeah, I can't say that. I love these characters so much, but they are fucking pieces of shit.
They're garbage people.
And it's like, you know, I love Sheila and Malcolm. I like calling them by their real person names, because they have so many fucking names that I just can't be like
Doctor, Mrs. Whatever now.
Yeah, exactly. What they said in the show. Yes. Yeah, and it's like, you know, they've got so many different personalities and whatnot. I just, like, directly Sheila, like, just Malcolm.
Sheila, Malcolm, and Gary.
That's right. And so, like, I love Sheila and Malcolm's marriage, and then I cringe the fuck out of it too. Cause it's like, okay, so, like, he is so despicable, and she's, like, putting up with this, and she's such a capable woman, and she's like, you could
do so much better.
You could do so much better, girl. You are, like, at the top of your game.
But then you also look at, like, who she was with before him. You're like, you could also do better than him, too.
Right. She just keeps on picking out some really bad eggs.
Like, and I have no doubt that Malcolm really loves her. Like, I mean, they have a loving marriage.
they're definitely in love, and one of the most tender moments is one of the end. What would we call them after the credits? Post credits scene. Yeah. So when, you know, they're all hopped up on the thing, and he's eyes. Like, yeah, and then he's like, ah, it's like you're my best friend, and it's like, ah!
I love you. You're awesome.
It's so good, right?
So awesome.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah, where they're. You're so awesome.
That's like the moment where you're like, okay, he really does love her.
Yeah. And there's other sort of moments like that.
Right. But it's like one of the most purest, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, strip the bullshit. There he is. He's
there.
Like,
there he is. He's high.
He's high.
He is thoroughly toasty. So, right. But yeah, well, you also get this in I think I picked it as one of my favorite episodes from season 7 for Adventure Month, Bellicose Proxy. You get sort of a moment like where he stops her from beating up Kimberly McManus. that side plot for some unknown reason. Like, why?
I'm just shaking my head. I don't understand it either, but okay.
Like, I mean, go for it.
Oh, you know, I just recently watched season 7 for the second time because I was watching it in real time over at my friend's house. And then I didn't get all the episodes and I didn't buy the Blu-ray because at the time I didn't have a Blu-ray player and broke. So, you know, some things don't always make sense at the time, but we just recently got season 7. We watched it all the way through because we did the whole like marathon of getting my boyfriend into the series. So rewatching that season and be like, Dermot is an OSI. What? How did I know I saw this?
Dermot's an OSI. Helper
is
yeah, helper's yep. whole origin.
And then Rusty's a clone.
Jonas is ahead in the problem light.
Right. I mean that I could never forget.
Yeah, that was the massive, and then Pete being all feral just coming out with that axe. Right. Which but I like I mean, how they never explain that either.
But that's true.
They never explain him being in his undershirt with the axe.
Wait. There is a reason. Shit. I can't remember it though, but I watched it again and I think they have some off comment that would explain why Pete is like that.
Well, I know the room that he was in with this pink dongle was filling up
right. Steam.
And then Helper knocked him out, but I don't know.
I think there was something else. But
I think there's a deleted scene.
There probably is.
That explains.
There probably is. But when Jonas was revealed as the problem light, I was like fucking screaming. I was screaming, okay? Screaming.
It was. Yeah, the callback too to like, you know, they even showed the it's on, it's off, it's on.
Right. It's and off. They reanimated that, which was so good.
Yeah, I forgot they had to do that because it was in standard def, wasn't it? That whole scene. They had to
reanimate. And it's so ugly, like there's a lot of ugly animation in season 1.
Yeah, the style definitely improves.
Yeah, infinitely so much.
It was a pretty show to begin with, but I mean,
it was.
You look at seasons.
Yeah, like Venture fans are spoiled, even though we like only have 7 seasons.
7 seasons over 17 years and no merch except for a shirt club.
Okay, that's not true. There's been lots of merch.
See, like, I know you say that.
Okay, and so there are two Sideshow collectible figurines of Molotov and Brock. Then there's the Migos. Hold on. There's the calendar.
The calendar that only you have. You're the only... You and one other person, I think, have this calendar from 2008.
Yes. Oh, I also have a... One of those water things with the hatred symbol on it.
The hatred
logo? Like yeah, like a water bottle thing. That's of a Bobby.
So cool.
It's so random, too.
Is it official? Is it like official?
Yeah, it's official. Like, I won't mention the fan products I have, but I will mention the actual stuff. The Mego line was big.
The Mego line was pretty big. It's... Kid Robot.
Kid Robot. The little ones, and then the two, like, the brothers doing the Venture Brothers logo.
That wasn't Sideshow? That was Kid Robot?
No. Yeah, that was Kid Robot.
Wow. Okay, so I didn't know that. I thought it was Sideshow.
No, there was talk of the Sideshow doing that, along with what looked like Monarch was going to be one or something. Like, it was supposed to be like, if they sold well, they were going to do more, but I guess it didn't do well. I'm trying to remember what else.
They didn't put it out there enough for us to go buy it.
Like, I mean, Sideshow collectibles is such a... They're so expensive.
They are expensive. I will say, though, Biff Bang Pow... Those are, I've never seen them in a store.
I have.
But you were in New York.
But I also go to comic book shops and stuff like that. That's where they showed up mostly.
Yeah. Well, I've seen but never Venture. Like, we only have one comic book shop in my town.
They're probably gonna die anyways.
Yeah, they're not that up. They're not that great, and I've gotten in a fight with them. that is a discussion for not on air. But yeah, I've only been able to find Biff Bang. I was only able to find them online ever.
I see.
I think.
Oh, there's shot glasses. There's the tumblers.
There's a color changing glass, apparently, too.
There's a mug. There were Killinger socks. And yes, there was a color change. The watch, which I have as well.
I think that was a promotional item, wasn't it? I understand. It was for sale.
You could buy it on Adult Swim's
See, here's Astro the issue base. Also. The fact that the Adult Swim shop is no more. Like, it's like you put all of your Rick and Morty. I can't go into a single store.
Oh God.
Without seeing. And that's nothing against Rick and Morty. I have been on the record that I do enjoy that show. which I guess
cautiously.
Well, apparently it is now a very controversial topic, even though I keep explaining that's not why the Venture Brothers was canceled. It's not because of Rick and Morty.
Oh, it has nothing to do with Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty just happens to be the biggest scapegoat because it's just like it's a big target because it makes money.
It's a massive target. Like, and then people are also like attacking Tigtone. And I'm like,
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so Tigtone unfortunately premiered its season 2 premiere a week after the Plume tweet.
Oh, no.
Poor timing for everyone. So Adult Swim, all of their marketing for season 2 was flooded by people not being pleased with them.
Oh yeah, this is unfair because like I know nothing about that show, but it's like that's
it's D&D, but crazy.
Okay,
that's and made kinda... by Titmouse.
Okay, cool. See, like that's like. People should be like, it's like having a friend who is pretty much like begrudging you of any of your success, right? Like, oh, because they, like, say, like, oh, I made an A on my test today. And they're like, well, fuck you. I made, a D or something like that. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it has nothing to do with you. And you can't be happy for somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like, my opinion. And that's also, it's also, like, I don't think, like, any, like, I'm not, like, attacking. Like, I was pissed for, like, a day or two, maybe. But then you, like, you have to step back and look at it from this perspective. These creators, these outside creators for these other shows had nothing to do with what happened.
Nothing. And it's, like, they're living their best life, right?
They made a thing.
Second season. Yeah, they made a thing. And it's, like, wow.
And people like the thing. People right. liked the thing enough for it to get another season of the same thing.
Correct. It's correct. Great. And, you know, like, that has nothing to do with the Venture Brothers. The Venture Brothers did not, like, it's just, I don't understand people that are hostile to things that they don't understand. They're hostile to other creator type creations, shows, than to people that probably have nothing to do with the cancellation of the Venture Brothers.
Yeah, like the people who are mad at Michael Ohlwine, who created Harvey Birdman. He is the new president. He replaced Lasso.
Okay.
And they're mad at him because there's some people in the fandom are mad at him because Bird Girl is getting a spinoff show, and that was in discussion like last year at Comic-Con, the Bird Girl spinoff.
Okay. You know, my Venture children that are listening right now, calm down. It's just a show. You really should just relax.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you're right to ride the grief roller coaster, but
yeah, I mean, like, okay, so like we go through all the stages, and it's like, you know, I know people are like lashing out, but I mean, there are like more productive things you can do. You could be nice and write letters and whatnot, and then there's, you know, another part of me just looks at it and it's like, okay, this is a show. It'll work itself out if it's going to happen. And we can all do our promotion and all that. But you know what? There's other things out there that are more pressing, like more political things going on. There's police brutality. And, you know, it's like, to me, it's really a hard focus. I love Venture Brothers so much, but the world is literally burning.
God, yeah, no, that's sort of, and I mean, my personal thing is like, it's like, I was focusing on this because it's like, this feels like something I can actually
do. Effectively change. Yeah, no, I understand that, because right now everything's so frustrating because everything feels like it's out of our control, and there's only so much we can do. And also, like, I'm sure nearly all of us are like, money is a problem. It's a hard time right now. It's a pandemic. It's like, you know, a lot of stuff is going on. So it's hard to put money towards organizations that you find that you want to help. And I can understand the sense of like gaining some kind of control back with, say, focusing on the Venture Brothers. It does feel like it's obtainable, and it is more than likely obtainable. It's just a matter of putting ourselves out there and letting people know that we love it. But it's like, it's, you know, it's hard. This is what I grapple with all the time.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, obviously, Venture Brothers means a great deal to me. It's been a part of my life for a long time, and it's afforded me so many different moments in my life, of like from going on my creative journey to friendships and everything else. And it's like, it's hard to say goodbye, especially when, as a creator myself, like, when you don't get to tell your entire story, it's really, like,
frustrating and upsetting. And
yeah, like, especially when you work so long, so hard on something, and then you don't get to complete it. That's difficult. And it's like, this show was going somewhere. It always had some kind of direction. And of course, it, you know, for a show that really didn't have an end game, it does have an end game, you know. It's like, it kept on going, and people were like, I want to see where this takes me next, because I have no idea where the fuck it's going, because that's how the show was. Kind of like every episode is like, whoa, this is weird. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know what they're going to say.
Yeah, and they've been building up to it too.
Yeah, so it is a blow, and it's hard. It's really hard to focus on anything these days. And I understand, like, Venture Brothers becoming a focus in a garbage fire of a world we're living in right now. I get it.
Where horses are loose in hospitals and everything is a madhouse.
Oh, it's a, wow. Wow, what a time we're living in. I mean, like, you know, I don't personify years at all, but 2020 really, you know, it's testing my abilities to not personify something, because it is literally one of the worst years.
God, no, it's like blow after blow. It's like, oh, hey, you think you're fine? Wait until this next thing happens.
Right.
Like,
and I mean...
I don't know how it came October. I'm still physically in March.
A lot of people didn't leave March.
No, a lot of people didn't leave March.
I'm just like, I now live in Connecticut. I see beautiful leaves and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh.
You get the changing colors.
Yeah, like... I'm originally from Orlando, Florida. We didn't have that. So seeing seasons, I've been up here in the north now I can just say the north, because like was living in New York for about 10 years and now I'm living in Connecticut. I've been up here for that long, it still impresses me, and it still makes like oohs and ahs and like, oh, first snow, oh, this is exciting.
Meanwhile,
this is the best thing ever.
I'm over here with like, I could go to the south. I could go to the south. I'm so done with snow. I've done snow for 8 years. I'm done. South,
yeah.
Coast, one of those, please.
That was my that was my mom and my her twin sister. They were like, "We're done with the snow. We're done with all this. We're done with our family. We're going to Florida.
We're going Paradise. To Florida." Yeah, that's always a good takeaway.
And they're still there.
Well, I feel like we're getting to a good point to wrap up our chat.
All right.
Do you want to plug your stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, you can find me at Spooky Chan, as in Jackie Chan, Spooky Chan, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the whatever. I'm probably there as that name, because I settled on a nickname that was cool a long time ago. Oh God, I feel old. Okay, so at Spooky Chan on all the... Yeah, I was Spooky _ Chan. Anyways, that was a thing. So find me at Spooky Chan and SpookyChan.com. I am also working on some stuff with my company, Machina Corpse. You can find Machina Corpse at Machina Corpse on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And currently, I'm in limbo. My cat is doing a thing. He's being really cute. Sorry. It's called Shiny Things. My cat is a shiny thing. If you want to edit that out, that's fine.
No, we keep all cat things in.
Yeah. Hi, Absinthe. You want to bite things? Okay. All right. He is trying to eat my cord. Okay. So go to gumroad.com/machinacorpse and you'll find our book, First Offerings, from me and Steve Amond, a collection of short stories and funny things and horror things and spooky things. Currently, I am in the process of making another Kickstarter for hopefully February. We'll see how that goes. But do follow me on all the things and wow, my brain is kind of warped at this point.
I think you got it all out.
My Kickstarter is going to be the reprint edition of The God Machine, which will feature Doc Hammer's Ford yet again.
Awesome. And we'll be putting links to all of this in our posts on this episode. Thank you so much, Chandra, for talking with me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It was an honor and a privilege.
Oh, stop.
So we end every episode the only way Venture fans know how, if you're up to it. 3, 2, 1.
Go Team Venture.
Yeah, that's the problem we have every time. Can't get it synced up for the life of us.
See, you went the rusty way, and I was like, I'm Billy Quizboy. I'm going to do this, like, right now. Go Team Venture.
Yeah, Thank you so much, Chandra.
Thank you.